Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Let me tell you what I do on my show, folks. I'm Phil Hendry. How do I describe this? How would you describe it? Those of you who are longtime listeners of the show, how would you describe what we do in this program? Oh, I know what you're saying. Oh, don't tell them, Phil. Just do it. Well, yes, I want to tell them. I want them to know exactly what's going on because you and they, you're listeners. And as you know, I differentiate between listeners and callers. Not that people who call aren't good people, but they're a decidedly different group. Now, some of them are a little dumb, but they're, you know, fine people. On this show, I play not only the part of myself, I play the part of guests who call in, callers that call in. And I talk with that character that I create, and then real people from the audience call thinking they're talking to a real guy. See what I mean? If I do a character's voice, and that character represents a certain profession or a certain political point of view, then people call wanting to respond to what that character said, thinking he's a real guy. And then the fun begins. Don't get it, do you? Well, one of the reasons why you probably don't get it is that nobody's ever done it before. This is an entirely unique show, an entirely unique proposition, and we are a syndicated show, meaning the broadcasters in the United States that carry this program are decidedly courageous, bent, twisted, sick, messed up, but albeit wonderful group of people. And we appreciate them, and we are in our second year of national syndication, and by God, with his help and the creek don't rise, whatever the hell that means, we'll continue on for a few more years. I want to tell you about a major web event that's going to be taking place this month. I don't really want to tell you about it because I can't give you any details other than to say there is a major web event that is going to be taking place this month involving the Phil Hendry Show, and I will have the particulars for you tomorrow. But stand by for a big-time announcement concerning our website, philhendryshow.com, and you and how you can access this program and actually watch the show in its entirety. And if I have my way, you'll not only be able to watch the show as it is being broadcast and performed, you'll be able to go backstage and watch us prepare the show. So it would be a big, long, extended day watching me at work. And I don't know whether that's interesting, exciting, or I don't know what, but I think you're going to have fun if you tune in, you get your backstage pass, and watch us as we prepare our program and as we execute it. But I'll give you more details as they become available. You will need a backstage pass, and you get that by going to philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, the backstage pass, and you can avail yourself of all of our audio, all of our archive material, all of our live streaming audio, and our 30-day archive, whether it's a 30-day archive or stuff that goes back even further. And we've got stuff that goes back 7-8 years. You can get it all at philhendryshow.com. 1-800-449-8686. I was bellyaching about the young Arab males that are in this country and the racial profiling, because that lady was talking about racially profiling Santa Claus. And I'm asking the question, how can you do this without making people angry? But how can you not do it if you want to keep, keep everything safe? I don't get it. But rather than talk about it, because I think I'll probably sound a little stupid, let me just let it sit out there, and let me just let it kind of just, you know, be there with you, man. The concept that we got to have people racially profiled, otherwise the whole thing goes up and what are we talking about? We're only talking about a handful of people, right? All right, 1-800-449-8686, because like I said, it's like 50,000 guys from Syria under the age of 33, and they were, they're on student visas, and they come from a country that sponsors terrorism, and, you know, whatever else you want to put on. They just had their hair done, and they wear Gap jeans. They only wear topsiders. They used to have beards, but how do you like that whole thing about Osama bin Laden looking like Santa Claus? All right, here is Jim on the Phil Hendry Show. Jim?
Yeah. Just a couple comments. Love your show. Do you ever get people calling in that agree with your guests?
Yeah.
Because I think it would be hilarious. I haven't been able to catch any yet, but just, you know, rooting the guests on and are totally in
sync with them. No, it's not very funny. No, it ain't. You know, I mean, there's no conflict there. I mean, it's just, what's funny about that?
Well, just the fact that they would that they their opinions would be that far out that they would agree with them, I think would be...
Well, I mean, first of all, you have a difficult time, you know, weeding people out like that, because are they calling
right.
up because they're trying to do shtick, you know?
Right.
I mean, I got enough people already that think that, oh, the people can't possibly be that stupid, Phil. You must be paying these people to call in without having some guy calling in who thinks he's funny and he's going to kind of help the bit along. It's just, believe me, Jim, it never works out. It's much better if we have people calling in who disagree, because conflict makes for a more spirited exchange, and then you got a bigger possibility of being funny.
That makes sense. The only other thing I have to say is I haven't heard from Ted of Beverly Hills lately. So
all right, well, we'll,
I miss him.
I think Ted is on his way somewhere.
Okay.
All right, man. Thanks.
Bye.
Here is Tim. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, Tim.
Hey, Tim.
What can we do for you? Hello? Okay, he just said his own name and got so embarrassed by calling himself Tim that he just hung up. I said, hi, Tim, you're on the air. Hey, Tim. And then he hung up. It's okay, it happens. I think what happens is people sit there going, he's going to say Tim, that's my name. And so when he says Tim, I should say, hi, Phil. But he's going to say Tim. Hey, Tim, you're on the air. Hi, Tim. Oh, I mean, and before you know it, here's Doug on the Phil Hendry Show. Doug?
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Fine.
Enjoy your show.
Thanks.
Listen, you know, the profiling thing. You know,
that's why we profile, by the way, guys like Tim.
The other day.
You know?
You there, Phil?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh. You know, I mean, it seemed to me like, you know, those little kiosks in the middle of the mall where they sell all this kind of stuff.
What stuff?
You know, like the candles and the incense and the pens and the ties and all that kind of stuff. It seemed to me like everybody that was selling any of that stuff, they were all like foreign immigrants, and I'll bet you dollars to donuts none of them had a Social Security card.
Why don't you ask them, you know, and quit buying that stuff, okay? You're just keeping them in business. Here's Irwin on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yes, how you doing, Phil?
Fine.
I love your show.
Thanks.
I'm a listener. I'm a first-time caller.
Don't make a habit
honestly,
out of it.
I'm sorry?
Don't make a habit out of it.
No, I'm not going to make, believe me, you won't hear me. I don't see anything wrong with the profiling, honestly, with you. I'm an immigrant. I'm naturally from Nicaragua. I was born there. But I love this country. I will say more than I love my own. I live more half of my life here already. If I haven't done anything wrong, why should I? I mean, profile doesn't bother me at all.
No, I mean, it's not that, because do you want your phone tapped? I mean, in other words, I could say, well, if you haven't done anything wrong, would you mind having your phone tapped? Yeah, I would, unless you've got reasonable cause to suspect me of
illegal. I mean,
well,
of course I don't
it's not even that. It's that you know, a crime has been committed. There's a certain public safety situation going on. We need to throw a sort of controlled net over a certain group of people. I mean, I don't want my phone just tapped all the time and have them use the excuse, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, what have you got to worry about?
You're right, absolutely. But let me tell you something, you know, I just want to say something, you know, I just want to compare it to, like, the AIDS epidemic here. Whenever you go to a hospital, you're bleeding. The people in the hospital, they don't know what kind of disease you have. You know what? They take the proper precautions. They wear gloves. They wear masks because they don't know what happened. I mean, to protect you from them and you from, you know, and them from you. And I don't see anything wrong with this. And, I mean, if this is going to
Well, it's a different thing. It's a different thing. It's, you know, that's, you're not, it's a bad comparison. The point is, whether it's, you know, in wartime, you got to take certain martial measures. The president's already said that. You know, God knows that I'm not the biggest George Bush fan on earth, but I understand our country's at risk. Or maybe we need another airplane flying into a building. I mean, I'm increasingly beginning to think that that's what we're going to have to have. We're going to have another airplane go into a building before people get the message. We've got a situation whereby a certain group of people are going to be targeted for investigation and possible interrogation. This isn't Iraq. We don't pull anybody's fingernails out around here. We're not sticking blowtorches in toilets. You know, they send you a nice letter. Excuse us, would you mind answering a few questions, okay? Quit trying to compare it to some totalitarian regime that they know ever so well over there in the Middle East, that the Arabs have got down like a science. Of course, you could always go back to Syria and, you know, get your education there if you'd like. Oh, I know. What am I saying? I'm saying, you know, America, love it or leave it. Well, if you're not a citizen, yeah, that's what I'm saying. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Gary on the Phil Hendry Show. Gary?
Yeah, hey, Phil. David G. Hall, I was in L.A., and you waylaid, can I name the host?
What?
Can I name the host of Bill Handel's show when you filled in on that morning drive?
Yeah.
And, like, you had everybody all, and, you know, David G. Hall said Bill was fired.
Okay, are we going to tell people what we're talking about here, Gary?
Oh, no. One time you filled in for a morning show.
Right.
And you had told the audience that the morning show host had been fired.
Well, right.
No, David G. Hall had fired him.
Right.
And that was a riot. You had everybody going. Did you ever get the chance to fill in for him again?
Because No.
I think Bill said you'd never do it.
I've explained this a million times. No, that's the last time I ever filled in for Bill. And, you know, he probably was upset. I don't know and I don't care. That's okay. Frankly, when we did his show, he got some ink in the L.A. Times, which I think was the first ink that he'd gotten in years. But he was upset and he was angry and he did this and he did that. Let me just say this. I'm not saying this about Bill. If you're going to do a talk show, then you're doing a talk show. And if you think you're going to do a talk show and have another business on the side and not have that affect your business in some way, shape, or form, I don't know what planet you're living on, but it ain't Earth, man. You do a radio show whereby you express certain opinions. That isn't in some way going to impact other businesses that you may have. I'm speaking for myself. I'm speaking for anybody that does a radio show. I don't care if you think you're the most above-board guy in the world. People are going to say, oh, you're that clown on the radio? Well, I'm not going to buy any cars from you, all right? I'm not buying any ties from you. I'm not going to your haberdashery. I'm not buying shoes from you. You suck. Why? I mean, I'm just expressing my opinion. Yeah, well, I'm expressing mine. I don't like what you do for a living. So a lot of what happened there when I was filling in for Bill had to do with, you know, a fear on his part that maybe my expressed a bit of satire was impacting his business. And it's fine. Everything's cool. Bill was cool with it. He was upset. I guess he had a right to. And no, we're never going to fill. I'm not going to fill in for anybody again as long as I live. I don't have to. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I don't know whether you know this or not, but the music business is not, it ain't doing too good. The Britney Spears album sales. Now, this doesn't mean a lot to me, but it has some context when I'm told that the people that produced her record would have liked to have printed a lot more. She sold 1.6 million the first week, and they probably had about 6 million pressed, thinking they'd sell that like no sweat. Britney Spears' record is underselling huge. Garth Brooks, guy hasn't had an album in, what, 4 or 5 years? Should be enormous. Dude sold about 400,000 units. That's nothing. That's nothing in the record business. Now, this is not surprising. Mick Jagger, 60,000 albums. Mick Jagger, at one time, was the premier rock star of his day. I mean, he just isn't anymore. It's no knock on him or the Rolling Stones. Times change. People move on. The guy may be making the best music of his life for all I know, but he ain't going to sell a lot of records. I ain't going to go out and buy a Mick Jagger album. I wouldn't buy a Mick Jagger solo album at the height of his popularity and artistic prowess. At best, I was a Rolling Stones fan, not a Mick Jagger fan, any more than I was a Keith Richards fan and that jive stuff that he did. But be that as it may, Mick Jagger, for all the fans and all that he represents to rock and roll, 60,000 albums, and that's it. That's worldwide, or is that just America? Oh, whatever. Now, why is that? I don't know, but it probably has something to do with MP3. People are getting their music off the internet now, man. They don't care about that going into Tower Records and talking to the dude with, you know, like 16 nose rings and 14 earrings, and he's got sort of like a zebra two-tone hairdo and, you know, the leather vest, and he's got the cargo pants with the combat boots, kind of the black fingernails. In other words, he looks like Chris Pelton. And anyway, and the guy walks up to the counter and goes, "May I help you?" "Yeah, do you have, I'm looking for, like, you know, whatever record you may be looking for. You know, Nancy Sinatra? I mean, do you have Nancy Sinatra's Greatest Hits?" "Hold on for 1 minute, please." And it's like, you know, on the computer. God knows what he's hitting and what he's doing. It takes forever. He's, you know, here it is. "May I help you?" I went in the other day looking for what? Oh, I know. I liked it. You may think I'm cornball, but I like this record that I heard, Stevie Nicks and Sheryl Crow, Sorcerer. You know the song I'm talking about, Janice? It's a good song. I just wanted to know where it was. It doesn't exist. Bull crap, it doesn't exist. I seen the video. No, we don't have it in the thing. Come on! Used to split to the back for a smoke, and they'd come back and say, "We're out." Oh, Chris, you worked at that Tower Records that I go to. That's right. So you'd go back, have a cigarette, and come back and say, "We're out"? Good for you. Sarah, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Sarah?
Hello.
Hi, how you doing, Sarah?
Yes, hi, Phil. I wanted to talk to you about that racial profiling that you were talking about before, but I think you changed the subject now.
Uh-oh, not that. I didn't change the subject. We can never go back to what we were talking about. Once I change the subject, that's it.
That's it?
No, go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
Okay. I just wanted to say that I think that that's not the right way of approaching this whole problem that we have today. I say that, number one, because I am originally from Middle East, and I have lived and I'm a citizen of the United States for many, many years.
Well, you're not targeted. You're a woman.
I know. Trust me, if women want to do anything, they can do it like men can
do. No, I'm saying that if they're racially profiling anybody, they're not profiling women. So
I understand
the cops are
that.
Not interested in talking to you.
I understand.
In fact, what they're interested in are men 18 to 33 years of age who have only been here 2 years, who come from countries that have known to sponsor terrorism and are here on student visas. I mean, that's not even every Arab that's in this country.
But what I'm saying is, was Timothy McVeigh would have been racially profiled. No.
No, you guys use this Timothy McVeigh. You're always doing this Timothy McVeigh thing. You guys keep falling back on this Timothy McVeigh thing. Why do you
Why not? Because he was, as far as I'm concerned, he was as crazy as these people.
We caught the guy. We caught him, and we disrupted his organization, which consisted of two guys. But we're talking about something else. Al-Qaeda, which has thousands of members that we're trying to find. Timothy McVeigh's been greased. Haven't you been reading the news? We caught him. We put him in prison. We executed him.
I know, but what I'm saying is...
What are you saying? I want to know what you're saying.
I don't think that the problem is going to be solved like that. We need to have better immigration laws.
How are we going
to
solve... What do you mean, better immigration... What are you talking about, better immigration
laws? And we need to have more security in this country.
All right, here's a better immigration law. Let's keep out all 18 to 33-year-old men from Syria who have student visas. How about that?
No, but maybe we need to...
Oh, I see. We're profiling then. Is that it?
No. We need to profile them before they get into this country.
Oh, profile them before they get here, but don't... In other words, profile them in Syria because they ain't got no constitution over there. They don't care about human rights. Let's profile them there. How about that? Is that better?
No, that's not what I meant.
Well, when are we going to profile them?
But what I'm saying is tapping people's phones here and taking their rights in this country.
Their rights.
Is wrong.
Their rights.
Yes.
All we're doing is asking them to report to police headquarters to answer some questions if they're 18 to 33-year-old men who come from countries known to sponsor terrorism and they're here on a student visa.
But isn't that true that most of these people, they are here on expired visas?
They're here
and
on a lot of them are here. A lot
them?
Of them are here on student visas. The guys that did the World Trade Center were here on student visas from, oh, goodness, look at that country. Here they come up again, Saudi Arabia. So, you know, that's all we're doing. If you call that profiling, then maybe what we ought to do is ask permission of, you know, their mommies and daddies before we have them come in. See if they, if there's anything they'd like to eat, too, once they get here. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We like to go out of our way on our program to honor people who have done something heroic, and especially since the events of 9/11. Steve Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, and he joins us on the line from Corona this evening to talk to us about an event in his life. And I know you gave some of the cursory details to my producer, Janice Ungaro, so let me just ask you, Steve, this is something that had to do with, you say you saved two lives, yours and your wife, correct?
That is correct, sir. And it's difficult for me to talk about myself, but...
Tell us what happened.
We've been at a Christmas party on last Friday night. My wife had several wine drinks. I guess you call them a wine spritzer, and she'd had several of those, and I think about three or four glasses of stout, you know, what you want to call Christmas punch. So she'd had a lot of liquid. She's also a little intoxicated. And...
It's going to happen at a Christmas party, huh?
Yes, sir, it will. It's going to happen at a Christmas party, exactly. I did have to help her out to the car, though, and I asked her, are you sure you don't need to use the bathroom? Because she'd had a lot of liquid, and we had quite a drive back. We were going from Pasadena to Corona.
How many miles is that?
I guess Pasadena to Corona is probably, I guess, about 30 miles or so. It's a good piece, and I asked my wife if she needed to use the toilet. She said no. She... was singing, and she was intoxicated. I'm taking her out to the car, and she's singing that song about, you know, what if God was one of us or something like that, and I'm helping her into the car.
All right, so your wife is drunk.
Well, I want
to... Well, she's tipsy.
Yes, sir.
All right, and you've asked her, does she need to go to the bathroom, and she says no.
That is correct. And I remember I said a silent prayer to God. I said, please help us make it home without having to go to, for her to have to go to the bathroom. Because if she has to go to the bathroom and we're driving through a very rough area of town, an area of town that the police may have identified as one that is a high crime area or a high risk area of crime, obviously at 1 o'clock in the morning, that's going to be a situation that's very dangerous for myself and for my wife.
I understand.
So it's very emotional for me to remember this.
You're doing very well, sir. Go ahead.
We're driving home. We're going through Pomona, California, and for your audience, I guess they don't know that that's kind of a rough neighborhood after 9 o'clock at night. There's certain gang activity, and it's high risk. It's high crime, certain parts of Pomona anywhere, high risk, high crime.
Okay.
And sure enough, right as we hit the Pomona city limits, I'll never forget as long as I live, I heard her say, I got to go to the bathroom. I heard her say, honey, I got to go. And I said, look where we are, there's no way, and on God's good green earth that I'm pulling over, and I kept on driving, and she's rocking back and forth, and she's saying, I have to go, and she's getting angry, and now I realize that I'm in trouble. Pomona, California, Mr. Henry, after 9 o'clock at night, you might as well be standing on a street corner in Harlem, because then there was no way I was going to pull over, and I told her that I couldn't do that.
All right, your wife needs to go to the toilet.
Yes, sir.
But you're in a very rough part of town. You say you're in Pomona, where there's a lot of gangs after 9 o'clock at night?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
So what do you do? I mean, here's a woman who needs to go to the bathroom. Do you pull over?
Well, no, you're not going to pull. You're not going to pull over and have a woman going to the bathroom on the freeway. That's. I didn't want to do that. Plus, if we pulled off the side street, we got the same problem. So I told her, I gave her a... we had a soda pop can, and I said, if you can... go in that, and I told her to put the can under there and control her bladder. Now, my wife has had three children, so you might as well ask the rain to stop falling because of that.
Okay, I got that, all right. So you give your wife a soda pop can?
Yes, sir, I did.
And did she go in that?
She did, yes, sir.
Oh, man.
But she got a large portion of it, got on the seat and everything else, but... I had Scotch guarded the seat, but urine is acidic, so it eats right through the Scotch guard. Anyway, we got home, and she tells me to get my stuff and stay over at Roy's house. So she's thrown me out of the house.
Your wife threw you out.
That is correct. And I got thrown out of my own home after I saved my wife's life, and I probably saved my own life. So now I know what it's like to save someone's life and be a hero and have no one appreciate it.
You believe you saved your own life and you saved your wife's life by not pulling over in Pomona and letting your wife go to the bathroom because it's a rough neighborhood.
That is correct. And She told me that she was completely humiliated, but I said she was not humiliated. She said, yes. I said, no, she was not, because she was peeing, but only in front of me. And I'm not going to tell, well, I mean, I'm telling people now, but I said I was not going to tell anybody. But now I have to tell people because I need to protect myself.
She was humiliated peeing into a can. You bet she's humiliated peeing into a can.
Mr. Henry, this is my wife.
Okay. What difference does that make?
I've seen my wife pee many, many times in the time that we've been married. I mean, that's a natural thing. Your wife's going to go, my wife, of all the women I've ever known, my wife, she don't close no doors, nothing. She'll squat right down, just go while I'm standing there trying to take a shower or whatever. So that's what she does.
Okay, I mean, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, married couples are that way with each other. But the fact is, you had your wife pee into a can in your truck.
Yes, I did.
And you're complaining that she peed all over your seats? I mean, sir, your wife, you know, look at women. You know, if you've been married any length of time, you've been around women any length of time. And they got to go. They got to go, man.
I understand that. But you can't pull over the side of the road. See? I knew this was going to happen.
What?
Nothing.
What? Tell me. What?
I knew you were going to take her side.
I'm not taking her side, okay?
I thought this is the program that said you were going to single out the heroes and stuff.
We do single out the heroes. Now, your friend Roy called us and said that you're a real hero for saving your life and your wife's life. You're telling me that you didn't pull over in Pomona. Had you pulled over in Pomona for your wife to go to the bathroom, what would have happened?
I probably would have been killed and her too.
By a gang?
Yes, sir.
So you're a hero because you kept on driving and you made your wife pee into a soda pop can.
I think that I made a prudent decision and a prudent judgment based upon the facts of the case. And I've called several TV and radio stations. I wrote a letter to the editor of the LA Times to explain what I did. And I want to let you know, and I want to let my wife know that I love her despite the fact that she ruined the interior of my truck. And the fact that I've been forced now to file a lawsuit.
Well, I read about your lawsuit, and I don't think you got a leg to stand on. You're going to sue your own wife for destruction of property because she peed in the inside of your truck. You made her do that.
I did that because we were... Why won't anybody listen to me?
You did it? Why?
I did that because there's a possibility we could have been attacked by gangs.
Let me give our phone number out here. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. His wife needed to go to the bathroom, but it was the middle of the night and they were in a rough part of town. He didn't want to pull over, so he made her pee into the...
I think you're focusing too much on that, sir. What I did do that saved our lives is I did not pull over.
All right, you didn't pull over, which you feel saved the life of yourself and your wife because it was a gang-infested area. Instead, you made her go in a can, a soda can.
That's correct.
And apparently it ruined the interior of your car. Okay, 1-800-449-8686 is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Now, 1-800-449-8686.
Just to interrupt, Mr. Hendry.
Go ahead.
I was afraid it might have been the last time my wife would ever urinate. And I just didn't want her to...
I understand that you were concerned about the safety of your wife, but I got to tell you something. You don't pull over, you make her go in a can, and then because she throws you out of the house for being humiliated, you're suing her for destruction of property, mental cruelty, and what's workman's comp?
I'm suing for workman's comp, yes, sir.
Why?
Because I can't use my truck to pick people up in. And I'm also suing the company that she works for, the Cayman Trophy Company, for giving her the wine spritzers on that.
The Cayman Trophy Company is the company your wife works for, and they fed her wine spritzers.
That is correct, yes, sir. I think you need to understand, Mr. Henry, that I feel like I did the very best thing that I could. I feel like I did the very best thing. I asked her if she had to go before we left the party. I asked her. She said, no, she did not. No, she did not. I said, you need to be sure. She said, I'm sure. And then as soon as we get into a gang-infested territory, now all of a sudden she has to go. And I remember saying a quiet prayer, please, God, don't make her have to urinate in a bad neighborhood. And sure enough...
Well, it looked like God didn't answer your prayers.
Well, I believe God did answer my prayers.
How?
By giving me the strength. He gave me the moral courage to make my wife go in a can. And then I was able to...
Look, I know you're very emotional about this.
You're damn right I'm emotional about it, and I have called all the TV stations and newspapers, too, and nobody understands. And I thought you were doing the hero of the day.
Hey, look, at you know, when just because we're doing hero of the day...
Well, I'm not trying to draw any attention to myself.
No, I know you... Well, if you're talking about the hero of the day, you call yourself heroic because you didn't pull over in a gang-infested neighborhood to let your wife go to the bathroom.
That's right. Yes, sir, that is right.
Well, the result is a lawsuit that I don't know that any judge is going to hear. 1-800-449-8686. This man's wife had to go to the bathroom. He said, do you need to go now because I don't want to stop in the middle of a gang-infested neighborhood? And she said, no, I don't. And then when they got to the gang-infested neighborhood, suddenly he's got to go to the bathroom. She's got to go to the bathroom. He didn't stop. Apparently she was humiliated by having to go into a can, and apparently she threw him out of the house. Now he's suing his own wife. And he feels he's the hero because he saved not only her life, he saved his life as well by not stopping there. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. On the line with Stephen Bozell, he apparently forced his wife to urinate in their car rather than pull over in a gang-infested area to let her use the bathroom. And you feel you did a heroic thing by saving your life and your wife's life by not pulling over in that area.
That is absolutely correct, sir.
All right. Well, here's a question. Why didn't you escort your wife, pull over to an area where there was a restaurant, and escort her into the restaurant to use the bathroom?
Okay, because you can't do that. Women today have women's liberation. They don't...
Oh, come on. You're talking about the safety...
Mr. Henry, I can tell you right now, I've been married for 15 years, and women today have the women's liberation, and they don't want to be escorted no place because it makes them look like they're not equal to men. Otherwise, I would have been happy to escort my wife, but she doesn't like...
Did your wife say, don't escort me to the bathroom?
She didn't say it in those words, but I know...
Well, then how do you know she wouldn't want it?
Because today's woman is all about the women's liberation movement, and they don't want no man taking their arm and opening up a door to take them.
Even if it means that possibly saving them from a gang.
That's right. That's how crazy they are. That's how crazy they are. That's why my only thing that I could do is to sue her.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Jennifer on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Yes.
How are you?
Good evening, ma'am.
My questions to Mr. Bozell, or my statements, are this. Myself being a woman, first of all, I take great offense to his comment with the women's liberation movement that women would not want to be escorted by a gentleman into a restaurant or any other place to go to the bathroom.
They don't want no man going to the bathroom.
And I do not like to be stereotyped like that.
Well, that's the way it is. And I didn't
Maybe
make this
that's
world.
The way it is in Panoma. But it's definitely not the way it is in Sarasota.
Panoma.
So don't take all the women and group us together.
First of all, ma'am, the town is called Pomona, not Panoma.
Well,
secondly, you know how you women are. You don't want no man getting up when you walk in the room and all of that stuff. And
oh,
if we're talking about
this, don't generalize me like that.
I
love it when a man gets up when I walk into the room.
Okay. Well,
I love it when he opens the door for me.
Well, I find that hard to believe. Women have to learn that their bladders don't rule the world. And what I try to do is I did the next best thing, and I think if it's a choice between squatting over a can and getting capped by some gangbanger, I think you'd agree, ma'am, that squatting over a can is not so humiliating as to save your life.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Okay.
I would have no issues
then why did my
with
wife,
being in a can.
Then why did my wife say that I humiliated her?
Well, there could be a couple reasons.
I think you humiliated her.
Well, she was intoxicated, first off.
I didn't force her to drink. She drank on her own.
Oh, no, but you're not thinking rationally when you're intoxicated. So when you get home from this party and she's covered in urine, and I can just imagine just hearing the tone of your voice and the way that you speak about women, that you are going off on this poor woman.
That's what I'm talking about. Women like you make it all my fault. If I'd escorted her to the bathroom, then you'd say that was anti-women because I escorted her to the bathroom and used opened up doors and stuff, and you'd say that's anti-woman.
No,
yes,
you're missing my point.
No, you
what
ain't,
I'm
you
trying
made a
to
point
say.
Yet. Women use urine to get what they want. I got to go to the bathroom. I'm in the middle. I could be in the middle of Kabul, in the middle of a carpet bombing situation. I got to go to the bathroom. I saved my wife from taking a cap in the ass from some homie, and what am I doing? I'm sleeping on the floor of my best friend's.
I totally support your decision to have her pee in a can.
Thank you.
Missing the point that I'm trying to make.
What point are you trying to make?
What if she peed on your whatever it's called, your bucket seats or
she,
your
she
seat
peed,
bench?
I got a Dodge. I got a Dodge Ram extended cab, 3500.
Okay.
I got leather seats that were scotch guarded, and the urine ate right through the scotch guard.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it worth your marriage? Is having urine
so
cheap worth your marriage?
All I'm asking is $50,000 for mental cruelty because it was cruel.
What's cruel?
She peed on my seats. You don't call that cruel?
No.
I got people getting into my truck, and they're going, it smells like someone's underwear in here. And I have never in my life had anybody say that when they get in my truck. Never. Now my boss says, hey, Steve, you know, it smells just like the crack of someone's underwear in here. And what am I supposed to say? My wife urinated in my truck? I don't think so.
Why not?
It's the
You've
truth.
You already humiliated
right.
her.
It's the truth. I mean, and
I did not humiliate her. You know, that lady, is that lady still there?
No, we got to move on to another call.
You don't make no sense.
Well, whatever, okay? Here is Louie. Is it Luvia?
It's Luvia.
Luvia, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Mr. Bozell, I think
yes,
you
ma'am.
Are a really, really huge idiot, okay? Because, I mean, how could you let your wife
My
pee in a can? Okay, so you're trying to save her life and all that, but
right.
stop for a couple of seconds and let her use the bathroom.
Wouldn't you pee in a can rather than travel through some gang-infested area?
No, I would not pee in a can.
You'd stop and go to the bathroom.
Yes,
and
I would stop. If you are much of a man,
you
would protect your wife. You
no.
would protect your wife instead of making her
this.
Pee in a can just to protect yourself. You know, you don't really care about
we
her
don't,
safety.
You just didn't
want to get out of the car.
You blend in the
You're
gang
a wimp.
Infested. Do you blend in?
You are a wimp.
Do you blend in a gang infested neighborhood?
My God, what's that supposed to mean?
Do I blend in
a gang infested neighborhood?
What it means is, are you black?
Yes, I'm black.
Okay, you blend in. I don't blend in no gang infested neighborhood. Okay. Well,
I am a young female. So what if
Whatever,
I'm black?
No homeboy
they
is going to bother
just
you.
As easily.
He ain't going to shoot no black woman. He's going to shoot a white woman.
How do you know this?
Let me ask you
something. You do not live in a black neighborhood.
I know right now the black gang member is going to cap a white woman squatting on the sidewalk before he
you
shoots
know,
one of his own people. That's for damn sure.
I hope to God your wife leaves you after this because you are the biggest idiot on the face of the earth.
My wife was planting one on one of the women from her office.
If I were her, I would have taken
another woman
and put it over your head and just like dump it all over you.
First of all, a gangbanger can't see you in the dark as good as my wife because on account of your darkness. My wife, they're going to see. She's going to stand
you know,
out like...
You know, not only are you an idiot, but you're a racist.
I'm a racist? How am I racist? Tell me you don't blend in. Go ahead. Say it to my face.
Actually, to be honest with you, no, I do not blend in. I've been called white myself basically all my life, okay?
All right. So you're a mocha mix.
Basically, yeah.
All right. Well, you're
okay,
a little
so
cream
got in
the
cup. Yeah, I've been called white.
Okay,
my life, all
but
right?
I bet you, if you's walking down the street, let's say you're squatting on a sidewalk urinating, and my wife's squatting.
Will you forget that?
My truck is called the Ass Crack, and you want to know
you
why?
You know what?
You want to know
truck, man?
Hey, you know why it's called the Ass Crack? My wife
peed
in it.
Forget about it.
What you and your homies have done when they saw my wife's white sprout sandwich, I wouldn't want.
Okay, 1-800. Yeah, it's sick. Phil Henry Show.